Hello and welcome to the Manhattan Institute's Urban Mechanic Podcast. I'm Matthew Hennessy, and I'm joined as always by Manhattan Institute Senior Fellow Steve Ide. Steve, it's the first week of September, which means it's the week that most kids around the country are going back to school. It also means that teachers are going back to school, and before too long, they'll be receiving their first paycheck. How teachers are compensated, both in terms of their salaries and, more importantly, their retirement benefits, is the subject of our podcast. And joining us to talk about it is Josh McGee. He is the Vice President of Public Accountability at the Laura and John Arnold Foundation, but he's also a well-known economist and independent scholar, and he has just authored a new report with Manhattan Institute Senior Fellow Marcus Winters called Better Pay, Fairer Pensions, Reforming Teacher Compensation. Josh, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
So tell us a little bit about the way teachers are compensated currently and why it's unfair.
Yeah, so we looked primarily at retirement systems and the way that the majority of the teaching workforce is provided with retirement benefits is through a defined benefit retirement system. And as most people know, these systems are underfunded to the tune of $1 trillion across the United States. So there's a lot of focus right now on cost cutting, on the financial piece of this. And so what our report does is it looks at retirement compensation from the benefit side, from the side of the employee. And we argue that the current system is bad for a lot of teachers and that a reform system would be better, would do a better job of providing more retirement security to more teachers, and that potentially shifting some compensation away from retirement and towards salary might be better for teachers as well and help districts generally recruit and retain a high-quality teaching workforce.
Yeah, your conclusion that, you know, since the vast majority of teachers don't stay within the system for the 20, 30 years that you would need to really max out the benefits, seems to be basically irrefutable based on my reading of the report, and that it's thus the traditional pension really is a bad deal for teachers. I mean, is it your sense that teachers don't get this, that they don't know, or that they don't care? I mean, it really would be in their self-interest to stay for the full 30-plus years, right?
That's true. So, you know, I'm sure you guys have had this experience. When you're starting or even when you're in mid-career, the deferred compensation simply isn't at the forefront of your mind. You pay a whole lot more attention to your job conditions at the time and your salary. So I think it's more just out of sight, out of mind. Teachers don't generally pay attention to this until they get later in their career and they are nearing retirement. And truthfully, the system works pretty well for teachers that make it to that point. But from the outset, so when a beginning teacher has a very low probability of actually making it long enough, the 30 to 40 years in a system, to truly benefit. According to the NCES, only about 28% of new entrants into the teaching workforce will last for even 20 years. And even if we condition on teachers that have 10 years of experience, only 63% will make it another 10 years to make it to 20 years of service. And so I just think it's out of sight, out of mind, and part of our focus is to try to highlight this this phenomena, the way that the current system works for new teachers.
Is teacher retention something that we should care about at all? I mean, isn't it a problem, you know, particularly in poor urban districts, that so many teachers burn out after one or two years? I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could convince, for example, you know, Teach for America recruits to stay for 5, 10 years as opposed to 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, I think that especially in our urban districts, we have a real turnover problem. One of the messages from this report is that the pension system actually relies on this turnover, and if districts actually fix their turnover problem, our pension system gets a whole lot more expensive. But to your broader point, yeah, we want to do a better job of recruiting top talent into teaching and then keeping them there for as long as possible, as long as they are productive in the classroom. And I think that the current retirement system does a poor job of that, and that we should think about better ways to induce top talent to come into teaching, and then to keep them there once they are in the classroom.
Okay, Josh, let's talk a little bit about the details about what exactly you're proposing. You often hear that teachers aren't paid enough, or that they're not paid commensurate with the value they provide society. So some will say, you know, we should be able to pay teachers more and give them a secure retirement by, you know, raising taxes or pumping a bunch more money into the system. Is that what you're proposing?
No, the two reforms that we modeled were cost neutral. In other words, they don't require additional revenue sources. And the reason we modeled it that way is because we wanted to kind of leave aside the politics around increased revenue. What we said was that even inside the current cost, you can shift compensation dollars around, both deferred and current, in a way that would be beneficial to teachers and help districts better recruit and retain teachers.
By taking some of the money that is currently backloaded very heavily into these defined benefit pension plans and smoothing out the rate of accrual, can you go into some detail about how that would work?
Yeah, so the current system is very heavily backloaded. So teachers earn very little in pension savings through the early and middle portions of their career, only to get steep increases in pension wealth late in career. And so what we've done is we've taken that system that is heavily backloaded, that has these differential rates. If you look at our paper, there's a great line in here that talks about a New York City teacher. Teachers in New York City are compensated. They get retirement compensation equal to about $3,000 per year for the first 20 years of service. And then about $30,000 per year for the next 18 years. So you can kind of see how heavily backloaded the retirement compensation is. Our reform simply smooth that out where it's earned evenly across an employee's career. The way we put it in the report is this places all teachers on a retirement secure savings path, regardless of tenure. And so it provides people with an opportunity to earn a secure retirement, regardless of whether they stay for 20 years or 30 years.
So just to restate that, $3,000 a year for the first 18 or 20 years, that means if you retire, if you put in 20 years, which is a pretty significant career for a teacher, you walk away with a retirement account worth something in the neighborhood of $60,000. But if you stay for another 10, 15, or 20 years, you could walk away with $500,000 or more. Is that
right?
Yeah,
that's right. So it's important to say that we're talking about employer-provided pension wealth. So this is net of the employee contributions. But yeah, it takes a teacher in New York City nearly 20 years to earn $50,000 in employer-provided pension wealth. And then over the next 18 years, they earn more than $500,000 more.
Josh, have you thought about the retiree health benefits issue? Because those can take quite a long time to vest. And in many systems, you can only draw retiree health benefits if you retire from the employer. It's not a bad deal in the same way that pensions are, I don't think, because employees aren't necessarily paying into the system and you don't have the smooth accrual issue there. But still, let's say we take the union argument on its face that salaries are artificially suppressed throughout a career because of a retirement benefits. I mean, if you were to cut up those and move those costs up front, you could really boost salaries by quite a bit, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, very broadly, we want people, whenever they talk about these various pieces of compensation, to think about total compensation and think what really matters in the labor market. Much like pension compensation, retiree health it doesn't have a whole lot of influence on who you recruit or retention through most people's careers, because people don't think about retiree health whenever they're choosing a job. I will say that retiree health systems are even more underfunded than pension systems. Politicians have skimped on payments even more there. Costs are rising rather precipitously. And this kind of highlights the opportunity for gaming that exists when politicians are allowed to promise an open-ended benefit and choose how they fund it.
I also wanted to talk about some of the ed reform implications of your report. At one point, you claim that this proposal would, quote, likely have a positive effect on teacher quality and student achievement without the need for higher taxes or reduced services. So how far do you want to go with that teacher quality argument? I mean, obviously, there are various ways that we can talk about how we could go about boosting teacher quality, reforming or abolishing ed schools, giving principals more authority to hire or fire teachers. How would pension reform rank among those various proposals?
Yeah, so if we talk about smoothing out retirement wealth, right now there my academic work and the work of others has shown that there are very strong incentives created by this backloaded system that pull people into retirement age and then push them out thereafter. And this is kind of regardless of their preference for work or their productivity in the classroom. What this means is people aren't able to closely match when they choose to retire with their productivity. And there's also been some work that's shown that in the presence of a smoother system, I believe that a professor at the University of Virginia wrote a paper that said that defined contribution systems, a smoother accrual system, actually resulted in longer careers by about 2 years from employees. The major takeaway from that is that a smoother accrual system eliminates these strong incentives and allows people to more correctly match their retirement date with their preference for work and their productivity. And so that could lead to significant productivity gains in the teaching workforce. And then second of all, the reform we modeled where we moved more compensation into salary has implications for student achievement, because if you pay people more, you're going to attract better talent into teaching, and you'll be able to keep that talent in teaching for longer.
Josh, we only have a few seconds left here, but I want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about the results of the modeling that you did. You looked at the 10 largest school districts in the country, right? So talk a little bit about the effects that you saw based on the proposals that you're making.
Yeah, so we looked at the 10 largest school districts in the United States. It's most of the major cities and some counties in Florida. On the retirement reform, in all of those places, we saw significant benefits to moving to a smooth accrual system. And so the shape, that backloading shape of the defined benefit system, is something that is present across all these systems. It's not just the 10 that we highlighted, but it's a defining feature of the defined benefit model. And so the takeaway from that analysis is this is something that could be implemented not only and make a difference not only in these 10 districts but across the nation. We also, the second reform where we shifted compensation towards salary, there's huge variation here, and a lot of the variation in the amount that you could raise salaries through this shift is dependent both on the generosity of the current pension system in a jurisdiction and their participation in Social Security. But there are a number of districts where you could see substantial salary increases due to this shift.
Any reason this approach wouldn't apply to other classes of public employees, firefighters, police, general government administrators?
No. So I think it's important to say that the retirement reforms that we modeled they maintain the current protections, longevity, and investment protections of the DB system. So in other words, we didn't model a defined contribution system that eliminates some of those protections. So there's no reason that this type of reform could not be implemented for other classes of employees at all.
Well, that's all the time we have, Josh. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
You can read the report by Josh McGee and Marcus Winters at the Manhattan Institute's website, and you can follow Josh on Twitter at JBMcGee. For Stephen Ide, Public Sector Inc., and the Center for State and Local Leadership at the Manhattan Institute, I'm Matthew Hennessy. Thanks for listening to the Urban Mechanic Podcast.